on today's show.
As I was traveling, I really felt the responsibility to bring my church and Christians that I knew along with me. It was out of those journals that the film series was born. I thought, well, we'll try one. And we shot one, and it literally sat around for almost 2 years because everyone told me no one's interested in this. No one's interested in missions videos. And all of Job's friends gathered around me. We finally released one episode. And the response from a spectrum of churches and people and ages was just deeply moving to me, that we were connecting with people about the work of God in the world.
Stay tuned. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement. I'm flying solo today without Scott Dunford. He is on vacation and we wish him well. I'm also getting over a little bit of a bug here, and so my voice being in the lower register, we promise Brian, our producer, didn't add any extra audio filters. As much as I like it when he makes my voice sound so rich and deep, this is all natural today, everybody, and it's so good to have you here on the Missions Podcast. Of course, if you haven't yet left a five-star review and rating for the show in your podcast platform of choice, we'd encourage you to do so. We appreciate so much the many of you who have done that. And also, we want to remind you, email Alex at missionspodcast.com with questions and comments and suggestions for future shows. We've had some of our best conversations on the show doing mailbag episodes, responding to listener feedback. And we want to make sure that in 2025 and beyond, that is still a big part of the show. And of course, one of the best ways you can be in touch with us is through our private exclusive Signal thread with myself, with Scott, with Brian, and with our other premium subscribers. But you can only get that as a member of our premium subscription community. If you're not a member of that yet, what are you waiting for? Go to missionspodcast.com/premium. And if you support the ministry, and we value those of you who've taken that step, but by supporting the ministry at $9.99 per month, we're able to bring you even more exclusive content, and you're fueling the resources for what we're doing so that we can continue to help goers think and thinkers go into the year to come. With that said, we have, I'd say, an important guest here with us today. And many of you who've been around the missions community and who have had a heart for the nations for years are going to be very familiar with our guest here today. So today I'm talking to Tim Kazee. Tim is the founder and executive director of Frontline Missions International, which has served to advance the gospel to some of the world's most difficult places for over 30 years. Incredible the legacy of ministry that exists there. But Tim has also traveled to more than 100 countries, all the way from former Soviet bloc nations to war-torn places in Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan, and many of our listeners will know him as the executive producer and writer of the documentary film series Dispatches from the Front, which you can get at dispatchesfromthefront.org. And Tim, maybe you can share a little bit more about your new project. You've also got a project coming out next summer, and you've been working with Tim Challies on that. Is that correct?
Yes. And first of all, Alex, I'm glad to finally be here with you. It's been it's been quite a journey to get to this conversation with the hurricane that threw us off several weeks back. But thank you for the opportunity today to be here and to meet your listeners this way. Last year, Tim Challies and I undertook a project that we first began to discuss 5 years ago, 2019, we were ready to go and do a worldwide story of the we wanted to track with the sun, beginning in the Pacific Ocean and going to all the time zones that we could, like within reason, around the world, going to churches that are gospel centered and culturally appropriate for the region. And we wanted to show this this beautiful Revelation 5:9 preview by going to worship with our brothers and sisters in all these different locations. And so we laid out this great plan. We had all these ideas, and then I got a cancer diagnosis, followed by a second kind of cancer diagnosis. Tim, sadly, his son passed away during that period of time. And then the global pandemic just shut down travel everywhere. Mm. So that idea that we had 5 years ago just sat there until we were both ready to take it up again. Last year we did. We were in 21 countries filming this, and this year we're in writing mode and post-production on the film series, and Lord willing, it will be released next summer.
Well, I have to think that there's some inspiration there from Psalm 113:3, you know, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord will be great. And it is incredible. You've had a front row seat to places throughout the world, seeing God working in that way. I mean, it's incredible. You know, we're always talking about how much of the missionary task is left to be done. And we do forget that from the rising of the sun to the setting, there are gospel-centered churches, gospel-preaching churches across the planet. It's incredible the progress that's been made so far. But what I want to do is just kind of roll back a little bit and ask you maybe a little bit more of a foundational question about some of the documentary work that you've done through the years, Tim. When I first got plugged into ABWE, my role was in mobilization, and I was in this interesting position. I came from a church ministry background here in the States, not off of the field, the foreign field myself. And so suddenly I'm in this position of connecting with recruits and with fresh meat and with people that are interested in taking a step into the global harvest, and having to relate to them the different nations where they could serve and the places where ABWE had works and had teams and church plants in progress. And it's difficult to relate to them all of these opportunities of places that I've not been, I've not seen. I think missionary storytelling is one of the hardest things, conveying that well to people that can't experience the sights and smells themselves. Tim, what would you say led you initially to create this documentary series? Because I think telling stories well unlocks so many possibilities. But what initially led you down the journey with Dispatches?
Well, Alex, it's exactly what you're describing. As I was traveling, I really felt the responsibility to bring my church and Christians that I knew along with me, people who were interested in these parts of the world and what God was doing. And I felt the weight of that. I know growing up, I never expected to travel the way I have been allowed to by God's kindness. But I think many people, they can't get on a plane and fly to the other side of the world. They can't cross a particular border or go into a situation and even know how to find out the state of the church there and have the relationships. And so God has helped me over these number of years to have these partnerships. And so I just started publishing my journal entries. I would record what God was doing in a given day, whether I was in North Africa or the Far East or South Asia or Central Asia. And so it was out of those journals that the film series was born. A friend came to me. He was involved in the film business, and he came to me and he said, "The way you write, if we were to add film to this, it would take it to a whole nother level of communicating it." And I thought, "Well, we'll try one." And we shot one, and it literally sat around for almost 2 years because everyone told me, "No one's interested in this. No one's interested in missions videos." And all of Job's friends gathered around me and told me how this wasn't going to work. And we were busy with other things. So we finally released one episode. And the response from a spectrum of churches and people and ages was just deeply moving to me, that we were connecting with people about the work of God in the world. And we set from the very beginning a commitment that these films were not going to be a promotion for Frontline Missions International. This was not going to be some elaborate infomercial, and we were not going to use it for fundraising purposes. We didn't want people to get to the end of the film and then I come on and say, you know, and for $20 a month, you know, you can save a starving child, or some kind of like heart-rending emotional appeal for financial gain. We were not going to do that. In fact, we had early on people saying, well, why don't you tell us what we're supposed to do with this? We're so moved by what God is doing. You know, why don't you tell us what to do? And it's just like, why should I tell you what to do? I want the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. And he may want a whole lot more than your $20 a month. You know, he may want your life and your career path. Mm. And so that was our commitment from the beginning. And we saw the fruits of that when we released the first copy, first episode. And then we continue to see it after 14 episodes. Some 15 years later.
I feel some of that tension. I'm communications, media, those areas fall under me. I mean, I'm somebody who, within our agency of ABWE, I'm often the guy saying, yeah, we need to have a call to action. It's hard to not have a clear call to action, but I love the way you describe that. It's not that you're not supposed to do anything with it.
Oh, no.
But it's that what the Holy Spirit would have you to do might be bigger than anything that we can just slap on a lower third at the very end of the film piece. That's an incredible point. One of the things that we've found in our own media efforts, even here at ABWE, is there's this tension between telling compelling stories of missionaries, which typically a U.S. sent missionary is somebody that I can put myself in their shoes. They look like me. They talk like me. I can connect with that person. And, you know, you always want to go for some level of audience connection there. You want them to be able to see themselves in the story. But then so often we're telling stories of actually the locals and of national partners through whom the Lord is working. And sometimes the missionary comes into that story. Sometimes the American missionary doesn't. And it's just a story of what that partner has been doing. And maybe that's harder for the audience to relate to, but it's also honest. It's telling the story of how God's working, even apart from us having our hands in the mix completely. And so for you, a lot of the stories of dispatches revolve around these fruitful partnerships between local ministers and pastors and missionaries and sent workers to them that are working with them hand in hand. And so what have you seen? How do you see these fruitful partnerships come about? What makes for fruitful partnerships between workers and between locals on the mission field, where we see sometimes the Lord is doing the most incredible things through those very type of partnering relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. This is not the great American commission. It's the Great Commission that we're seeing unfolding. And it is unfolding. It is in every nation, every tongue, gospel. And so I think that's even some ways more important, to be telling the stories of the breakthrough of the gospel in a difficult place, and hearing the stories of, for example, animists or Buddhists or Muslims who are coming to faith, and the dramatic impact that is having in those communities. And that sometimes means persecution, and just those are the stories that I want to tell. And so I think for me, the vehicle for that, telling it in a way that our audience can understand it, is through my journal, is through hearing and knowing the story and then communicating it as it's unfolding. So it's not, I don't want it, and it isn't contrived. I don't want to write a script that I expect someone to sort of fit into my script. I want them to be writing the script as we're living life. And as far as who those people are, as you mentioned, finding partners that you trust, they trust you with their stories. That's really important because in some cases they're taking risks to share their stories. And developing gospel partnerships over the years that are fruitful and that are not rooted primarily in a financial relationship. Those are not overnight. Those are not things that happen overnight.
Yeah. Well, you've been to many countries, right? Didn't we say in the introduction over 100? And you've done at least 14 documentaries in this series. So, Tim, what are some of the stories that have stuck with you the most, the ones that you just can't get out of your head that the Lord has used in your life and for your own edification the most?
Oh, that's a big question because I think of a pastor in North Africa who he first came to faith through watching Christian broadcast on satellite TV. He was struck by the way Christians prayed for all people, whereas his imam at his local mosque prayed Allah's cursing on all non-Muslims. So this contrast was striking to him. And then the way he would ask questions about the Quran, questions that concerned him, things that didn't quite make sense, but to even raise any question would result with physical violence against him and be slapped in the face for even asking a question. But God's Spirit was working. He came across this broadcast from Christians, and it got him on a path, to make a long story short, that he got a Bible, but it was 8 years before he met face-to-face another Christian. I mean, we sometimes have no real category in our country and our communities for that kind of gospel destitute regions of the world. But to see his faith now, I was just with him just a few months ago. Again, we've known each other for a dozen years or so. And there's an example of a trusting relationship I love to share his story. I've written about it in a recent book called A Day's Journey. But I think about my friends in the Far East, people that are living in police states, and seeing the joy that they have despite having police raids, being an almost constant threat to their churches and their own homes. Pastors telling me, I mean, they don't even have this category like, as we think of, well, they're going through so much persecution. They just think it's normal life. One pastor told me when he became a pastor, he said, it's automatically understood that you're going to be arrested. That's just like, there's no surprise there. We expect to be arrested if we are assuming responsibility or the call of God to be a pastor. That's just like, that takes ordination counsel, you know, to a whole nother level of preparation.
It does. I heard just this week in a podcast I was listening to, not directly missions related, and I didn't realize this, but it was something like the first 20 or 30 or some bishops of Rome were all martyred. I wasn't aware of this, but when that becomes a part of the qualification for what a church leader is, my goodness, the seriousness, the gravity that adds to the situation where you're expecting persecution and suffering because you're not only a Christian, you're publicly putting yourself out there as a leader among Christians, as a leader in this Christian community.
Yep.
That's something that I don't think most of us in the West have begun to wrap our minds around. Tim, you've been to many places, but I can't imagine you've been to every place you'd like to go. So pretend you're Captain Ahab. What's your white whale? What's the place that you'd love to go, or the story that you'd like to tell that you haven't had a chance to do so yet?
There's a list there. But I want to, I would like to go to Iran and get on the inside of that situation. There's certainly more stories that I want to tell in North Africa. There's some great movement of God among animistic people, tribal people in Southeast Asia, and I want to tell more of those stories. But it's a long list. I don't know that I have that much time left, but it is a dream.
Hey, listeners. If you've been here for a while, you know our tagline already: helping goers think and thinkers go. Well, we really mean that. Let me ask you, what are you going to do with everything that you're listening to right now on this show? And could it be that the Lord is leading you to join his mission and extend his kingdom among the nations in a new way? Remember that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He gets the most glory by using normal, weak, doubting people. Maybe you're ready to say what the prophet Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." If you think missions, whether that's short-term or long-term, is in your future, we are here to partner with you and your church in the process of sending you. Our team wants to talk to you here at ABWE. We're a family of ministries extending across more than 80 nations of the globe, engaged in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. Our team wants to talk to you. Go to abwe.org/sendme. Again, abwe.org/sendme, all one word. No guilt trips, no high-pressure sales tactics, just a friendly voice here to pray with you as you and your church discern your calling. So start the conversation now, abwe.org/sendme.
Well, that is a reminder, and that's a good segue into just considering the fact that we need others telling these stories. We don't just need a couple of elite few documentary filmmakers. We have many missionaries between your organization, our organization, others represented on this call. There's a lot of individuals that can be out there telling stories. I have found in working with missionaries, and this is a big chunk of what we do here at ABWE, but storytelling as that art form doesn't come naturally to a lot of people on the field. Even those who have incredible stories of what the Lord is doing, I think it's that humility piece where they don't want to toot their own horn, where they don't want to draw attention to themselves. Or maybe you just become accustomed to life on the field where the things that you're experiencing would sound extraordinary to a person in the pews hearing that here at home. That's just standard fare for you. And so what advice, what counsel would you give to missionaries who themselves, they're looking to become sharper storytellers on their own? Whether they're communicating with their churches back home, their supporters, maybe they're using social media, maybe they're not, maybe they're just writing the traditional prayer letter. But how would you encourage them from what you've learned along the way about storytelling?
First of all, it's the gospel is powerful. And I think sometimes just take it for granted or not be in awe of it so much anymore that we don't see, it doesn't still capture our imagination of what the transforming power of the gospel and the power of a transformed church looks like. So I say all that to say we don't need to write overly sensational stories. I think there's a tendency, like, if anyone's going to read this, then, you know, it's got to really grab their attention. If I may relate one story, because this is an old problem. Amy Carmichael had written a book about her ministry of, like, rescuing children and the evils of Hinduism and its impact in communities and families and lives. And she wrote about this, and I think some people from her mission agency came to visit, and they said, we can't publish this. Like, this is never going to attract people to come to the field. We can't recruit with this, and we can't raise money with this. And so she was very discouraged. She put the manuscript away and just forgot about it for a couple of years. And then some friends were visiting from England, and they heard about this, and it's like, we want to get behind this. And so they funded the publication of this book, and she made the title at that point called Things as They Are. And it's, I think, her one of her best books. But the title is Things as They Are, not Things as You Want Them to Be, or things that we're going to use to manipulate to raise money or recruits. So we still have an issue. So I'd say don't over-sensationalize. Let the gospel shine through the work. Also, write in such a way that you show great respect for local believers. Missions is too often too much about missionaries. And so let's not let the missionary get in the way of the story. Let's let the power of the gospel and God's glory shine through it in the face of his church, of his people. And that'll be worth reading. That'll be worth seeing.
There's a lot of wisdom in what you just shared. Let me just pick up on what you mentioned, going back to Amy Carmichael's story. And there, I think, for a long time has been a temptation, maybe more than that. I think a lot of people have given into it, the temptation to present the missionary life as sort of this sanitized experience, like unto what you would see a travel agency advertise with, right? It's vacation missions. Go and find your destiny and be yourself and do so in a way that it sort of scratches that itch for adventure, that wanderlust that so many people have. I think if you look at a lot of the marketing, especially around short-term missions, I think it's everywhere. And I think it's a problem. And what's interesting to me is not only the fact that, okay, we've got to get away from that unbiblical approach of how we depict the missionary calling, but also the fact that when you tell those more honest stories, when you tell stories of hardship, strangely enough, the Spirit uses that more. I guess it's not that strange. But I'm seeing entire movements. I think we have mutual friends in the world of the missionary conference that just happened. You have the individuals at Radius, International Radius, those guys, the Bucers, they're good friends of the show. But you have new voices in the missions world, in the missions community, that are much more willing to talk about the normativity of suffering, that you should expect trial and difficulty. And there's something about that. It's the Shackleton effect, right? That you're calling people to this impossible situation. The odds are all stacked against them. And it not only does the Spirit use it, but I think there's also just something natural in people's psychological makeup where, man, you're calling me to something bigger and better. And that's actually pulling me in where it should be repelling me. Have you seen the same thing happen with some of the difficult stories that you've told?
It's just the truth that Peter shares in his epistle. Don't be surprised when these fiery trials come. And imagine the fiery trial of taking the gospel to a place in which Christ is not known. And you're breaking through every kind of barrier to do that. And there's tremendous and intense opposition. So those are the realities. We could have a whole nother conversation about how to get beyond this vacation mentality about missions. That's a whole nother topic. But I think that there's just power in the truth of seeing what authentic cross bearing looks like. And so those are the kind of stories that I want to tell. I don't want to glamorize. I don't want to sensationalize this whole thing, because I think that is not a way to attract people that really understand what Jesus is calling them to do.
Yeah.
And it's not to take a vacation. It's not to have cool posts on their social media. And so, yeah, they need to be put in they need to be put in a situation where they have the adrenaline beat out of them, and they can begin to see what the dirty, dusty, sweaty, lonely reality is of living on the other side of the world for the sake of Christ.
Obviously, that only happens with experience, but I think there's something real and true and wise that you're getting at there. There is this temptation to make it about cultivating a persona of, here's my Instagram, here's me with a little African orphan on the hip. Here's me, you know, out in the bush. And I'm not saying that about anyone in particular, other than just recognizing, I think we're all tempted to project a version of ourselves that's less than authentic. And I think when we're telling these totally authentic, not sugarcoated, not glamorized, you know, hashtag no filter, when we're telling those types of stories about what God is doing around the world, I think that the Lord is more willing to use that than he is willing to use versions of the story where we can claim credit, where we can take some of the glory for ourselves because of the way that we've spun it and presented it. So with all that in mind, you've already shared, Tim, a little bit about the new film project for next summer. But going back to Dispatches from the Front Lines, what is next for Dispatches?
Yeah, well, now that we've finished From the Rising of the Sun, I'm laying plans for another dispatch that I want to pursue next year. I've gone through a long season with cancer, including a bone marrow transplant, and I'm quite aware that my all of our days are numbered, but that time is precious. And so I have a few key journeys I still want to make, probably wrap up the stories that I started telling in the Mediterranean world, centered around the Book of Acts. Yeah, I'm not being very specific, not because I'm trying to be evasive, but because I'm just weighing a lot of things right now as to how best to spend next year. And it's a matter of prayer. So thank you.
Well, and we have many in the audience who are certainly of a prayer warrior mindset, and certainly trust that there's those in the audience who can be lifting you up in prayer, brother. But would you also, before we wind things down and talk a little bit about what's coming in the bonus episode, share with us more about the agency that you lead as well. And what are you doing at Frontline? Where are you serving in the world? And for those not familiar with the organization, would you please talk to us about that?
Just over 30 years in the wake of the fall of the Berlin Wall, our ministry started. I was over there. I'd always had a burden for the needs of the persecuted church, and I came back from that part of the world with spending time with pastors who had been in prison for their faith, and I came to realize it's like the fall of the Berlin Wall was not my opportunity or America's opportunities to go over there and teach them. It's primarily their opportunity to reach their own people. So how can we come alongside of them? And the mission was born out of that vision. And for its first 10 years, we were active in Bosnia during the war, Ukraine, Russia, all that part of the world, building churches with congregations that had only been able to meet in the forest before then. So those were a good beginning and a foundation of developing those kinds of relationships that we talked about earlier, where you trust people and you work alongside of them for years. And from there, God opened up campus ministry in the Far East. And so we were sending teachers into that field. And from there, we started sending families into other parts of the world, into Central Asia and Southeast Asia, North Africa, Central Asia, that I mentioned, Afghanistan, some of those parts of the world since the early 2000s. If listeners want to know more about Frontline Missions, they can go to frontlinemissions.info and can learn a little bit about our history, where we're working, and also can find those Dispatches from the Front films.
Very good. Yeah, again, that's frontlinemissions.info, or you can go to dispatchesfromthefront.org. Tim Kazee, thank you so much for your service to the Lord and really creating content that's, I think, mobilized and encouraged a great many people through the years. We're grateful for you, and thank you for sharing how we can be in prayer for you personally as well. Thank you for joining us on the show, Tim. And to the rest of our listeners, before you go, we want to let you know about our bonus episode that we're about to record exclusively for our premium subscribers. If you're a missionary, or if you're in touch with missionaries, you're connected with missionaries, you're probably thinking about that question that we brought up earlier in the interview. How can missionaries tell better, more compelling stories? What makes a piece of video content go viral? How can I make sure that I'm telling these stories in a truthful, authentic, and clear way, but also in the way that I need to connect with those that the Lord would put in my path? And we're going to talk about that actually with a content producer. Of course, I'm talking about none other than our own Brian Van Timmeren, producer of this very show. We'll have that conversation in the overtime, available exclusively for our premium subscribers. Again, go to missionspodcast.com/premium to get access now. And for the rest of you, the Missions Podcast is a ministry of ABWE. To learn more about how you can take your next steps in the Great Commission, you can go to Missions Podcast, but actually go to abwe.org. You can get more content from us at missionspodcast.com. And until our next episode, go make disciples of all the nations.